Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Hope you're doing well. Let's take a look at our announcements real quick. We are receiving the Thanksgiving offering for the North Carolina Baptist Children's Homes during the month of November. You pray and you give as the Lord leads. And be sure and designate Thanksgiving offering on your envelope if you're not using one of the special envelopes. Speaking of that, the offering envelope box sets are available in the back on the left if you want to pick one up. On that same note, beginning next week, we're going to stop receiving our offering using the plates. Now, I'm reluctant to do that because I see the offering as a part of worship. It's an act of worship. And to me, it's an important part of the service, but we recognize the risk of passing the plate and, you know, doing that. So one thing the deacons and I have looked at is putting an offering box in the vestibule so that when you come in, you just come in, drop it in there, and done. No contact, no breathing on each other or anything. So beginning next Sunday, we're going to put that box out and do that. But just as soon as everything clears up, we're going to go back to receiving the offering the way I like to do it. But anyway, be sure, though, and pick up your offering, your box set, one per household, preferably. But we do have some more, I believe. They're either here or they're coming this week. So if we run out, we'll have some more. But please get those. They're quick, easy, good reminders. And you can just drop those in there, and we have a record of who gave it. Speaking of the Thanksgiving offering, we'll be talking here in just a moment about Mr. Pete Knight. And it's wonderful to see Joe. I remembered, yes. It's good to see them here today. They'll be sharing with us here in just a little while, and we're so honored to have you all. Thank you. Thank you all three for coming. The chaperone's in the middle, from my understanding. She keeps them straight. All right. Don't forget, shoe boxes are due Wednesday. As of today, we have 27, I believe. So if you're going to turn one of those in, be sure and turn that in along with the $9 shipping by Wednesday. There's suggestions in the bulletin about items you can pack. You can also go to SamaritansPurse.org and pack a shoebox online for $25 if you're not comfortable getting out and going shopping. November 25th, there'll be no online Bible study in lieu of Thanksgiving. The 29th, Lord's Supper. And as a reminder, most of you have partaken of the Lord's Supper under our COVID stuff, right? For anyone that hasn't, they're prepackaged, safe. Again, we're not passing the plates and the juice around. It's just a prepackaged cup and wafer that we'll use that again on the 29th. Also, the hanging of the greens has been canceled, so please note that. Next Sunday, this is not in the bulletin, but next Sunday, the Kids and Youth Committee will meet right after worship. So, Kids and Youth Committee, please make a note of that. What am I forgetting? I'm forgetting something. Yes, yes, yes. November 29th will be our Lottie Moon kickoff. We're doing it because November kind of goes late, and if we wait till December, we're already almost a week into December. So this will give us a head start on the month. But we will do our Lottie Moon kickoff on the 29th. And, oh, also, next Sunday, the bulletins, we're going to start printing those again. That's what I was trying to remember. Yes, what we're going to do, though, they'll be sitting on the table. If you want one, please pick it up. Ushers, don't pass them out. Greeters, ushers, don't pass them out. Just if anybody wants one, they'll just be on the table and they can pick one up. All right. Any other announcements? It's good to be here this morning. Good to see you. All right. You know, that's the way, as I've said many times, this is the way God designed church to be together. He didn't design the church to be remote. And I know we've had to do that lately, but the fellowship aspect is lost when we're not together. So it's good to see everybody. Glad that you could be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you so much for the honor and the privilege to be here this morning, to worship you, to sing praises to you, and Father, to hear this wonderful these testimonies that we're about to hear this morning. Lord, I know, Lord, you've worked in mighty ways in these gentlemen's lives, and we just thank you for the path that you weaved for their lives and how good you've been. And we just look forward to hearing their testimony, and we pray for the North Carolina Baptist Children's Homes, and we just pray that you would supply their needs and keep them safe. And just we pray a special blessing on all the parents, the house parents down there, and all the workers, whoever they may be. We thank you for the volunteers, everyone that contributes and makes this ministry such a tremendous success. We pray for these kids, and we just pray that they would know through this ministry how much you love them and how much we love them as Southern North Carolina Baptist churches, as we give and as we partner with them and do different projects and drop off food and different things. We just pray that these kids would see the love of Christ as they're there. Bless this service this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing this morning. We've a story to tell to the nations. And then we're going to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. A story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning.
Let's bow for offertory prayer. Father, we do thank you that you do love us. We thank you that you bless us with so many things. Father, I pray as we give these offerings that we would give this as an act of worship and an act of gratitude for all that you do for us. Bless the gift and bless the one who gives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's continue in worship. Please stand.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Kids, get your lights ready.
shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, kids, and the congregation. This morning I'm going to talk to you about when you need a helping hand. Things that children might need help doing, or an adult. I'm going to read scripture, Matthew 14, verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and called him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? Has there ever been a time in your life when you needed someone to give you a helping hand? Of course, we all have had that at some point of time. How about when the kids, when you first learned to tie your shoe, did you need somebody to help you? Your parents helped you? Probably when you tried to ride your bicycle with training wheels or without training wheels, you had your parents or your grandparents ride along beside of you to catch you in case you started to fall. Or if you tried to play sports, you had to have somebody to teach you and help you along to run the bases or run down the soccer field. Teachers, as far as reading the books, if you little kids, you have to help them read books. Today's Bible lesson is about a time when the disciple of Jesus needed a helping hand. One disciple in particular was named Simon Peter. It had been a long day for Jesus and the disciples after the disciples had helped Jesus feed more than 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Jesus told them to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the lake. When Jesus went up onto the side, mountainside to be alone and to pray. Later that evening, the disciples were quite far out into the lake and the wind began to blow and the waves were crashing around their boats. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to the disciples. He was walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. Jesus immediately spoke to them. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. So Simon Peter spoke up and said, Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you. Walking on the water, Jesus said, yes, come. So Peter climbed out of the boat and started walking on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked down, started looking around and the waves being blown about by the wind, he was afraid and he started to sink. "Lord, save me," he cried. Of course, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. "Why did you doubt?" Peter asked. Sometimes, even with grown-ups, fishermen like Simon Peter, we need a hand from Jesus to come out and help us up. You and I may face some pretty tough times in our own life, which we are facing tough times now with all the COVID and all the stuff that's going on within the world. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, he will always be there to give us a helping hand. So let us pray. Father, help us to remember that you're always there when we need a helping hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, now my favorite part of today's service, which, by the way, Pete told me he's still eligible for adoption if anybody's interested. But all right, Pete, Joe, Chuck, Margie, and Marcia all went to Mills Home in Thomasville in the summer of 1960. And like most brothers and sisters, their family has always been close. Pete retired from the United States Air Force and retired from Yakin Valley Community Hospital as Director of Environmental Services. He is the past president of the Northwest Piedmont Purple Heart Foundation, Incorporated. His life calling is to be of service to all military veterans and families, and is a fierce advocate for the Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina. Joe has an associate's degree for biblical studies. He is the president of Knight Services Incorporated, a statewide landscaping company. They are former president of the Mills Home Alumni Association and are currently serving on the Mills Home Alumni Council. They have been asked to speak numerous times at churches and civic groups on behalf of the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. Pete and his wife, Judy, she's the chaperone. They live on Sloan's Mill Road. We used to be neighbors. They have 4 children and 10 wild grandchildren. And their 2 great-grandsons who refer to him as Papa. And Brother Joe lives in Kernersville and has 3 children and 5 grandchildren who call him Papa Joe. So I don't want to take any of your time, brother. So if you guys would come on, share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Good morning. The church I attend, Flat Rock, we still have a drive-through. We don't have the closeness that you have, and we don't have the singing. They don't allow me to sing anyway, but I like what you did, so thank you. Thank you for inviting us to your church. It is an honor for Joe and I to be here to represent the Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina. All the hurting children and families across our state. On behalf of Dr. Michael Blackwell, we bring you greetings from the Baptist Children's Home. And at this time, we're going to have a video to give you a little history of the orphanage of North Carolina to where it advanced to the Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina. So we can start our video.
The Thomasville Orphanage was born in a time of adversity. The Civil War had ended only 20 years earlier. It was 1885, and this orphanage, this citadel of hope, greeted the first child on a blustery November afternoon. In the intervening years, the orphanage has weathered the winds of adversity and came out on the other side, stronger, resilient, determined. We've been isolated before. The flu pandemic of 1918. Isolation and death among children. The polio quarantine of the early 1950s. Isolation and death among children. But each time the orphanage did rise, each time the orphanage did survive, each time the orphanage did thrive. The strength of the orphanage came from God's guidance and the sacrifice of women and men who gave of themselves to the least of these, the most vulnerable. These children, of course, grew up to be adults. They survived two world wars, the Great Depression, Vietnam, 9/11, and now, coronavirus. This place, this sacred, holy ground, was founded on faith, built on love. It's what sustained us when we were the orphanage at Mills Home, Thomasville, the orphanage at Kennedy Home, Kinston. It's what sustains us now as the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. Many ministries to the glory of God, beating with one heart. The dream of our founder, John Mills, lives on. The legacy of the first child in care, Mary Presson, lives on. Winds of adversity still blow strong, but we will not be defeated, and neither will you. We are BCH strong. We will rise. We are on holy ground, sacred space. We shall not be moved. Strong now. Strong then. Strong forever.
Now, William, I didn't see my picture up there. For the ones that have your Bible, will return to me with the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 11 through 14. While you're turning to the scripture, allow me to give you a brief overview of the ministry for children and families through the Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina. As you know, I was here several years ago, and my story hasn't changed. It's still my story. But because of the virus, I couldn't ask to have children come to represent the different campuses across North Carolina. So my wife, Judy, suggested Joe. So Joe's a backup for the Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina. As many of you know, I like to ask a question. How many of you grew up in a home with two parents? Bless you. How many grew up in a home with one parent? Bless you. How many of you grew up in a home with no parents? How many of you are like my brother Joe and didn't grow up? It has been 135 years that the Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina has reached out to God's children and families. Hundreds of children find refuge, and hundreds of families find hope in the Baptist Children's Home each and every year. The Baptist Children's Home is located in 21 of our cities, and there are 22 homes across our state. In every 100 counties, we are representative. There is 9 homes for mentally disabled children and adults. There is 9 homes across our state dedicated for guidance and counseling for family care mothers who have babies. And there is now is a new ministry in Guatemala. The Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina has built an orphanage in Guatemala. We have many missions in that we like to say is one heart, the heart of Jesus Christ. We provide homes for children, ministry for the failing aging, family care for single mothers, cottage ministry for students, college ministry for students, community outreach for families, quality care for daycare education for children, loving haven for teen moms and their babies, wilderness camps for boys and girls. And Joe has been there, so he can talk more about the camps for boys and girls. I do know when I call there Friday, they're asking for chiefs or counselors for young people at camps. So Williams, they're looking for 22 to 26-year-olds to be chiefs at camps. Supportive homes for special needs adults, compassionate family foster care, and we have recently partnered with the Christian Adoption Services in able to provide adoption services. We have many ministries beating with one heart, and that is the heart of Jesus Christ. He is the center that is all we accomplish. Thank you for being there for God's children and families. And thank you for being there for my family. I still have the first Bible given to me on graduation Sunday, my last Sunday at Mills Home. And it's been with me as I travel to different parts of the world. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11 through 14, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans of prosperous you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future." Let me repeat that. Plans to give you hope and future. "There you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declared the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." In Israel at the time, the southern kingdom made of Judah and Benjamin were being overrun by the Babylonians. In the middle of all of this, wise Jeremiah was called the weakened prophet. And the reason for that, he always gave bad news in the past. And the news he gave to the Israelites caused them to weep. And now they were confused when he came and said, "The Lord will give you hope and purpose." And Jeremiah told them to plant gardens, get married, raise families, because the Lord had a plan and a future for them. "80% of the residents who come to Baptist Children's Home are unchurched and unreached for Jesus. we celebrate the hundreds of Baptist Children's Home residents who have accepted the great I Am as their servant. In the past 5 years, there has been 669 professions of faith. How about that? Isn't that amazing? You and your Baptist Children's Home offering changes lives both now and in the future. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, then they brought the little children to him that he may touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Each child who has ever entered the Baptist Children's Home has their own story. Some of you have heard mine and Joe's story, but with your permission, I would like to repeat it. Because it also reminds us of who we were over 50 years ago that we will never forget. It also reminds me to tell Judy when I feel down and out, I give her my little orphan story, and she feels sorry for me. So I will never forget our story. From my earliest memories, I have heard of Mills Home in Thomasville. Our father left our mother with five little children, and she was expecting her sixth child. I was 3 years old, and Joe was 1 year old at the time. Our mother, who was on welfare and in desperation to feed and clothe six children, contacted Mills Home in 1954. She was told there is room for the boys and not the girls, and she did not want to separate us. My mother always had her favorite children, Shirley because she was the oldest, Margie and Marcia because they were twins, me because I was the oldest boy, Joe because he could sing. Chuck was a baby. As some of you know Chuck. Chuck is ugly. We had no television and no radio, no car. For our entertainment, our mother read us Bible stories and sang hymns of faith. I'm very thankful for our mother who had the courage and the vision to allow five of her little children go to Mills Home in Thomasville. Our mother died in March of 2011. She was 89 years old, and her love, vision, and sacrifice we miss every day. On Friday, August the 5th, 1960, at 11 o'clock a.m., five of the six little night children went to Mills Home in Thomasville. However, once we got there, we were separated. The boys went to the Green Cottage, the girls went to the Whitty Cottage. The Green Cottage had 18 boys and two ladies, a matron and a dietitian. The first floor had a living room with a television. There was a dining room with four large chairs and six chairs to a table, and a large kitchen. I had never seen so much milk and food before, and I didn't think I would ever get full, and her matron and dietitian didn't think so either. The second floor had six bedrooms with three beds each. I actually had my own bed with two white sheets. Joe tells a story. We had never seen two white sheets before. There was a large community bathroom, but all showers was taken in the basement because 18 boys and water don't mix. I was amazed. I had never seen a shower before. I have three older sisters, and I had to wear their hand-me-downs, including their underwear. Before meals home, and I would go to school, and my class would go to the restroom. I was the only kid in the third grade that unzipped my jeans from the side. But when we got to meals home, it was a place called a sewing room, a large building that had lots of clothes. I was given my own underwear that I didn't have to share with anyone, especially my sisters. The first day we was there, Joe, Chuck, and I was given a tour of the campus, one of the thousands of walkabouts I did on those hallowed grounds. There was a gym, a swimming pool, baseball fields, basketball courts, swings, monkey bars. There was a girl's side and a boy's side. The campus was like a large horseshoe. You come in one arch, you circle around and go out the other arch. And in the middle was a large church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, or whenever there was church required, you best be there. We never suffered from too much church because there was never too much church. We even had a church sound system in our infirmary. William, you got to hang on, okay. Oh, yeah. It had kids, 300, and a staff of 60. The Baptist Children's Home has changed since Joe and I were there. There are no longer 300 children on the campus because of different programs the Baptist Children's Home has. Children now can go to foster homes or adoption. And as you know, there's all kind of services provided by the Baptist Children's Home. The cottages now are more home style instead of the dormitory style that we had. It's a lot of changes. Changes for the better? I don't know. I do know there is need for children across our state. And it's a tremendous need. We found out when we got there that every child had a job of some sort, whether working in the house, working in the kitchen, working in the print shop, or working on a farm. Mills Home had its own farm, and it had black and white cows. My first job was a farm. I picked beans and okra and tomatoes and goofing off, and I got caught. I was sent to the dairy. I found out those black and white cows are called Holsteins. Mills Home had the first registered herd in North Carolina. Those black and white cows ate green grass and gave white milk and dropped brown stuff. And that was my job, because I got caught goofing off. First thing after breakfast, but before school and after school, I would run down to the dairy and shovel brown stuff. I probably shoveled enough brown stuff to fertilize several acres. In June of the following year, I was transferred to the farm cottage. The farm cottage is where they have boys who work in the dairy. There was 12 boys in that cottage. 7 worked in the dairy. 3 worked in the house, and 2 worked in the kitchen. 4:30 every morning, we would wake up and run down to the dairy, turn in 60 cows at one time, 30 on the right, 30 on the left. And we'd start milking at 5 o'clock, and we would finish milking at 7. We would run home back to the cottage and have breakfast. Oh, the food was fantastic. Get our showers and go to school. We went to school like any other kid in Thomasville. Some of us become doctors, some become lawyers, but most of us are just people that work hard. We could not do that without your support. There's no way that the children of North Carolina can make it if it was not for people like you, or the love you have for children and families of the Baptist Children's Home. In the winter, the cows did not go to the pasture. They went to the sleeping barn and had to have fresh bedding every morning. And on cold mornings, I would have to go out with an axe to the watering trough and break the ice and water off the watering troughs. When my children were growing up, and I'd give them a little task to do, and they would complain, I'd tell them about my story. They said, "Daddy, please don't tell us about breaking the ice off the watering troughs." After living at the farm cottage for 3 years, I was transferred to the Watson cottage. The Watson cottage had 16 boys and a husband and wife, and we also had a dietitian to come in the middle of the day for our evening meal. My job, once I got transferred to the Watson cottage, was with the men in charge of building and grounds. These are men I call good Baptist men. They took me under their wing and taught me good work ethics and to become a responsible citizen. I am so thankful for those good Baptist men. They saw more in me than I saw in myself. After being there for 3 years, I was transferred to the Color Cottage, which is still on campus today. The Color Cottage is now one of the cottages for mothers and their children. I went there as my last year at Mills Home. When I tell you that I was raised in an orphanage or children's home, some of you may have different thoughts about that type of child care. At Mills Home, there was love. There was clothing. There was food. There was education. And Joe and I have more brothers and sisters than we started out with. And these relationships we will cherish the rest of our lives. Mills Home is the only home I know. The Baptist Children's Home is the only home I know. And that would not have happened if it had not been for you and people like you across our great state. One question I am asked is, do you ever go back? But before I answer that question, how many have you been to a campus, one of the Baptist Children's Home campuses? How many has been to a Children's Home campus? Wow. Thank you. At this time, I would like to recognize Brother Joe. He's a better speaker, and Cord the Mama, better looking, and he can sing.
Folks, I really apologize for this guy. Oh, boy. Thank you all for having us this morning. It's truly a pleasure. I got off the Spears Bridge Road this morning. I stopped at the Marathon. I needed a little splash of gas to finish getting here. I didn't want to embarrass myself and run out of gas. I have to walk the rest of the way. As I was pumping my gas, there was a couple guys on the other side of the pumps. They said, "Hey, have y'all heard what's going on at Forbes Baptist Church this morning?" Boy, my ear picked up. And he said, Those night boys are going to be up there begging for money for those orphans. But so y'all hold on to your wallets. But anyway, thanks again, and I cannot add more to what Pete has mentioned about growing up at Mills Home. I do have the privilege of going back there every week, and I've been doing so now for about 15 years, as well as the Duncan Girls Camp and the Oak Ranch down in Sanford up to Asheville. I have a lawn maintenance company, and I was so blessed 15, 18 years ago when they called me and asked me if I'd be interested in taking care of Mills Home. And I was doing backflips, and of course I would be privileged to do that. So that led from this to that, and pretty soon we were all over the state for the Baptist, and I'm blessed. When I go to Mills Home, and I don't ride the mowers like I used to, but I remember when I first started mowing around there, I'd go around these big, huge oak trees, and you all know what I'm speaking about if you've been there on the campus at Mills Home. And I'd think about going around these big trees and think about some of the brothers and sisters that Pete and I have grown to love over the years that we grew up with. So I started naming the oak trees. And now I go by, just walking by, and I kind of grin to myself. Well, that's old Smith over here, and Adam over there, and so forth. But I won't take much of your time, but I got this. This is a newspaper that we used to print there on campus at Mills Home. It's called The Charity and Children, and I think it's available through your church here. And I was just reading it last night. I didn't know, you know, my brother's always, and by the way, you're talking about my brother wearing his sister's underwear? Well, by the time he got through them, they were really pretty rough by the time they got to me, I'll tell you that. They were pretty rough. But I was reading this, and something caught my attention that I really wasn't aware of. And by the way, this is free. You can subscribe to this paper if you don't get it. It is free, and we come to you periodically. But I was looking, it says, there's a program going right now. You can double your gift up to $250,000. It'd be matched dollar for dollar, and it's tax deductible. And I went, wow, that's pretty cool. And then I read on, and I don't know if you're familiar with the CARES Act. That's a federal program. This provides a deduction up to 100% of a donor's AGI, which I believe is the annual gross income, for cash gifts or qualified charities, for qualified charities, Baptist Children's Home. 100%. That's pretty amazing. And then before that, it was only 60%. So it's kind of a cool deal. I know things are rough. Man, I tell you, you know, you start out with a pandemic, then we had fires all over the West Coast, storms, ice storms, floods, and God bless you folks here in Yadkin County. Even Pete and my brother Chuck have been affected by this flood situation. So we're all with you on that, and sorry that those things happen. So it's been a rough year. But, you know, just this past Wednesday, the 11th of November, the Baptist Children's Homes celebrated 135 years. 135. And I've been so blessed to have been in care there when I was a young child. And like Pete said, I mean, I think now I'd be out with my crew or a customer or someone, and they said, my goodness, look at the time. It's 11:45. I'm about to starve. And I think to myself, you don't know anything about starving. You know, I don't say that, of course, but I think it, and it reminds me that I do know what it is to be hungry. Or, gosh, man, it's 47 degrees out. I'm about to freeze. You don't know anything about being cold. I do. God bless my mother for having the vision to get us into the care of the Baptist Children's Home. And I thank you, and I thank God for the opportunity and the privilege that I did have to go there and to grow up and to learn and to be loved. And thank you again, and God bless you, and God bless this church. Thank you.
Mama always thought he was the best.
You see the finished product of the Baptist Church.
What could possibly be added to that? I appreciate you gentlemen coming, and you know, that's the reason I wanted you to come. These gentlemen speak from the heart. They speak from experience, and they speak from love. These gentlemen truly love the Baptist Children's Home. I don't know how many people I've talked to that have told me that. Y'all didn't know that. But several of the staff and folks down there speak very highly of these gentlemen. And I do too. It's a pleasure to meet Joe. Joe, I'm sorry he's your brother. But these are some wonderful men, wonderful family. And Judy, I'm praying for you. They're wonderful people. But as, you know, what he just said down here, they're a product of, they're a testimony of what the Baptist Children's Home does. And I encourage you this month to pray and give as the Lord leads. The food and supplies that we took down, they were so very grateful when I got there. They were kind of surprised because, you know, they haven't had anybody show up with the virus and everything. It's kind of been, they kind of haven't wanted people showing up either, I don't think, because of safety reasons and the with the virus and things. But when I showed up, man, they were surprised. And I told them, I come bearing gifts from Four Bush Baptist Church. And they were so grateful. And I just encourage you, if you've never been down there, I would advise after the coronavirus is over, I encourage you to set up a time when you can go down, call them, say, hey, you know, I'd like to come down and check out what you're doing. And I'm sure they would let you come. Above all, pray for the kids. I have seen video after video, heard story after story of kids that maybe didn't come out of a situation quite as good as yours. Some of these kids, I know there was a video a couple years ago of the kids walking down the road and the town cop stopped and picked them up. That stuck with me. And we do have kids in our state, even here in our community, that are hungry, that to them it's, I know, because in my years of coaching, I've talked to some of them. It's a joy to get on the bus in the morning and get away from home for them. And then it's terrible to get back on the bus and go back home in the evening because they know they're more loved at school than they are at home. It happens more in our county than you know. And so we just need to be in prayer for our children. We need to be in prayer for our families, for our nation. I'm getting ready to preach. I need to hush. But, you know, we need to, they need to see Christ in us. We need to be the hands and feet that Jesus has called us to be. This is one of the ways we can do that, to get involved and partner with the Baptist Children's Home and minister, as he said, to the least of these, to the most vulnerable, the ones who are defenseless, the ones who need help. So I just encourage you to pray about how you can get involved and pray about what the Lord would have you give. We're going to have a time of invitation. And, you know, I've seen the Lord do amazing things. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know he loves you. And we love you. And I invite you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. or however the Lord's spoken. Maybe he's spoken to you about something else and you say, I just need to get on my knees here at the altar for just a minute. Something that the Lord's been dealing with you on. However the Lord's spoken, this invitation's for you. And let me encourage you all with this, the scripture that Brother Pete shared. The Lord does have a plan and a purpose for your life. And you will seek him and find him when you search for him with all your heart. He'll be there. I've had young people ask me, well, how does a person in a third world country hear about Jesus? They seek him, and he shows up. That's how it works. Somehow God will make a way, and he will reveal himself to them if they search for him with all their heart. And the same is true for us. So this invitation is for you, however the Lord has spoken. If you would, please respond to him in faith.
Stand and sing together. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Well, again, we appreciate the Knights being with us today, and I tell you, they are true Knights. They truly are, though, and I appreciate them and what they do. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Pete and for Judy and now for Joe, and it just seems as I meet the siblings, I grow in respect for this family, and it's just amazing, and it's been a privilege to meet you and to have known all of you. But pray and you give to the Baptist Children's Home offering as the Lord leads. And as the song said, I know, I get it. We're worried about this virus. Don't worry. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, trust him. As I've said, the church sign said, trust the Lord, but wash your hands. Just trust the Lord, because when we worry, we're not trusting the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him. Take your precautions, but trust Him. Don't worry. Don't worry. My God is bigger than any politician. He's bigger than any virus. He's bigger than anything else. And He's got this. He's in control. Amen? All right. But we do hope it'll go away soon. Amen? All right. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And please welcome them at a distance. Throw him an elbow to elbow, not to his nose. But do welcome them, if you would. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the testimony we've heard this morning. We thank you for the Baptist Children's Home. And I pray that we would cover this place in prayer, that we would pray for them regularly. And Lord, not just to pray for them, but Lord, as we hear of needs and as we see opportunities, help us to stand by them and with them, to support them and help them in any way that we can. Father, what a tremendous ministry. We pray that you would bless all the staff. And Father, keep them safe and keep them on fire for you, because it's through them that these children are coming to know you. So we pray for the volunteers and the parents and others, that you would stay hot on their heart as they minister and love these kids. We pray these kids will come to know you, and we pray that you would send them out, Father, as they grow up, that they would be sent out into this world to be lights for you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.